What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
Katie Ananina. For the past year, the Russian emigre from a mountain town in Siberia has jumped among U.S. cities like Miami, Houston, San Francisco, and Denver, plus Puerto Rico, random islands in the Caribbean, all the way to the mountains of Guadalajara, Mexico, trying to find the right location to establish a base camp. It's part of her lifestyle as well as her job running her company, Plan B. Katie is an expert in sovereignty, opting out, and flag theory. Welcome to the pod, Katie. How are you?
Hi there. Thank you. It was a really nice intro. I appreciate it.
Sure. How are you doing down in the mountains of Guadalajara, Mexico?
Doing pretty well, actually. Not going to be here for long. I have my flight in like 10 hours,
right,
or less.
Traveling as always, or intermittently, it seems. And that's what we're going to get into. So, you know, first I'll kick it off with your threaded tweet and really the first part. So we already have fuck you money, definitely have fuck you mentality. Here are your fuck you passports. And I'm going to add, and now we have fuck you flag theory.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I've kind of come across really flag theory, you know, from Bitcoin Twitter, but now primarily through your account. And I've been looking into it. And some things are kind of like, you know, okay. And then a lot of it is just like, wow. And what it makes me think is, you know, Bitcoiners, well, normies are playing like, let's say, checkers, you know, buying stocks and bonds. And then there's like Bitcoiners, we might think we're playing 3D chess, but like we're really just really focused on monetary independence and economic policy. And maybe that's like 2 or 3D chess. But flag theory is like 4D chess. And you know, so, and it's interesting with everything going on in the world right now and people contemplating where they live and what they're getting out of it and the risk of your geographical location, it's kind of coming together. So then there's what I learned. There's 3 things, or like there's like global nomads, you know, or perpetual travelers. And then there's like flag theory.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of get into it from like, you know, for people with families and kids, but like young people. And then obviously like people who are like, you know, maybe independent, wealthy, whatever age they are, have kind of all different like interests and like options within all these different buckets.
That's right. It's funny you brought up chess, because look at my nails. People won't be able to see it, but my nails are chess. chess, right?
Do you play chess?
I actually decided to get back into that. I started watching Queen's Gambit on Netflix, and I'm like obsessed with that. And I always like playing chess, but recently a bunch of Bitcoiners here down in Guadalajara, we started playing chess. And I was like, damn, that's interesting. That's pretty cool. So I'm definitely going back into that.
Cool. Well, you know, before we get all the way into flag theory and the differences between, you know, perpetual travelers and global nomads and real hardcore flag theory and what that means and options, what does Plan B do?
So Plan B pretty much provides services for people who want to explore flag theory, right? For people who want to limit their dependency on any one particular state, as well as, you know, take advantage of different jurisdiction. And just like we all know about sovereign individual theses, when nation states are falling, right? And the reason they're falling because they don't provide us with good conditions. So we have to take our money, take our wealth, take our businesses and go elsewhere. So what Plan B does is pretty much we try to understand where you're at in life, what your needs and requirements and goals are, what's your long-term plan, and we strategize it for you, as well as we do all the paperwork for you so you don't have to care about that.
Right. Now, you know, it's interesting, you know, we talked about in the top of the intro with the passports. And I think like when I first heard flag theory, I really kind of thought just about taxes and that kind of thing. And there's just so many more angles to this. And it's actually, from what I gathered, evolved over, you know, a couple of decades from 3 points or 3 flags to 6 and now 7. And one way I kind of heard you phrase it was like, you go to the butcher to get the best meat, you know, and you go to the farmer for the best fruits and vegetables. So why don't you shop for that, you know, lifestyle you want and find out, you know, what a passport can bring you or multiple passports.
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it. And flag theory is different for different people, just like Bitcoin for us is different, right? Based on our backgrounds. Like I'm coming from a country where I saw hyperinflation so many times through my lifetime that like I see Bitcoin from this perspective and other people see it from different perspective. Same thing with flag theory. Some people just being born in a country whose passport doesn't really provide you with visa-free entrance to the world. So it's hard to travel. And in this case, you just want a powerful passport that will allow you to go visa-free anywhere you want. Right. For other people, it's just, let's say their jurisdiction is not very suitable for the business they're trying to run, so they change jurisdiction, or it's a tax reason. It all depends on your background, on your goals and plans.
And we're going to get into all of those reasons. And some of them even go, you know, like things like, and this I never thought of, is like just recreationally. So, you know, we're going to get into it. It's like where you earn your money, where you go spend your money and have fun. And there's all different angles to thinking through that. But, you know, it seems like, you know, you hear these words like perpetual traveler, global nomad. And I think those are kind of not baby steps, but kind of a lesser, more less committed avenue, both financially and geographically, I guess, or politically or anything like that, to, you know, more of the flag theory. But it seems like for all three of those, you were primed. You know, you're a world class sailor. You were off on your own at 11 years old, you know, living, you know, kind of making decisions and figuring out and going through things. I mean, can you tell us some about, like,
yeah,
maybe...
definitely. Sometimes I think it's crazy how my life pretty much set me up for being a Bitcoiner, being into flag theory, being anarchist. Like, all the experience since I was very little, and now as I'm, you know, getting educated about all these things, I'm coming back into my memories. I'm like, wow, I remember this thing that happened to me in university that completely changed my life, completely changed the way I think. And yeah, all those pieces, all those experience brought me to where I'm at, traveling the world, doing Bitcoin stuff, trying to question authority as much as I can, and, you know, talking Bitcoin on pods.
Right. So, you know, for the listeners, it's like, picture this. You're living wherever you want. You know your assets are safe, your privacy is intact, and your tax obligations, maybe zero. And it sounds too good to be true, but there's strategies behind flag theory that can lead to these results, which is, you know,
I mean,
yeah.
You're absolutely right. It does sound crazy for many people, but also, like, there was reason when we were ended up in cities, right? We all tried to make groups and all that stuff. But now all those reasons are falling apart at this moment. Like, education sucks, so you don't really want your kids going to school anymore. And then the job is happening online starting now. Like, everybody moved into remote positions, so you don't have to be in town to go to an office anymore. It's just like that. We don't have to be in a centralized location anymore, so we can just, you know, pick everything up and go. And I'm seeing, like, it used to be that digital nomads were, like, people my age, single, just, you know, traveling the world because they don't have obligations. But now I see families with 3-4 kids doing the same thing. They're putting kids into, you know, unschooling programs, and they just travel with them. They go whenever they feel like the climate is good, the air condition is good, the food, their dollars go way further. So why not?
Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I've done a lot of traveling in my life. My parents were public school teachers, so we spent a lot of time camping and traveling during the summer, going cross country. When I was 25, I spent 3 months backpacking the South Pacific by myself. You know, now I got a wife and kids, though, and I'm kind of like, we're stabilized, but everything's shutting down. So the schools are closed or closing, you know, only the school where we pay and we'd get a refund if we stopped paying or you know, is open for my little girl. But even that, like, if she gets the sniffles, she can't go for 2 weeks. And my office building, I just got word, like, they're closing or, like, kind of requesting that we don't come in anymore. It's not mandated yet, but that's, like, a week or two away. And I'm going to Texas in a week or two, And I'm trying to convince the wife that we should just move there.
And, definitely. If I had to pick one place to live in the States right now, it would be Texas.
Okay.
But I totally understand you. Like, being a perpetual traveler is a skill. Like, you're actually learning on a go. Like, you're actually finding better solutions for your flight tickets. And then you're figuring out how to do Airbnb smarter. And then you're figuring out other things that, like, serve you better, save you money, give you more comfort, convenience in life. And, like, it wasn't easy at first. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so tired of working from whenever Wi-Fi is. And then I'm always on the go. And then I can't figure out how to pack. I have, like, 4 luggages. And now I'm totally skilled on it. I feel so much better. My life is very convenient. I'm very stable despite, like, having a bunch of flights a month.
Yeah, I mean, we love dragging the kids around and traveling. And we've been on planes a lot with them. And car rides and long road trips, and they're used to it. And it's like we just kind of drag them through it, and they kind of get them flexible. And I'm excited to go where it's warm and where things are open, and my kids can play outside, and I think learn a lot more than, you know, they used to tell me to keep my kid off the screen, and now they handed him a screen and want them all on the screen all day.
You don't mind me asking, how many kids you have and how old are they?
8 and 4. So and as a wild age, and I think that they would get so much more out of playing with their friends or being with my wife and myself outside, learning about trees, beaches, mountains, road trips, everything, all of it, than just sitting on the iPad all day and not really getting to do the things they want to do as things close down. So, you know, this idea of flag theory, though, put simply, is like you go where you're treated best. But you're like, well, who needs flag theory? Flag theory, you know, outlines the what and the how of international diversification so that your personal and financial affairs are no longer dependent on any one government. And this is where I think Bitcoin is really playing like 2D chess. It's like, or it's just a lot of people, you know, a lot of people spend their whole life. You're born in one country, you spend the whole time there. You go to school, including university, in that one country. You get a job in that one country. You got your bank accounts, your retirement accounts, your savings accounts in that one country, your real estate in that one country, your precious metals, maybe your hardware wallets, your passport from one country.
They want you to do that. They pretty much set you up for all that. Like, it's really hard to get a job outside of your country because different jurisdiction, you need special permits, and then you can't open bank account in another country, and then you can start business, and then, like, they pretty much try to tie you up to their, like, to this particular nation state. You know, because then they gain more control, and now you're completely dependent on one particular state. And if they go nuts, well, I'm sorry, you don't have exit, you don't have a plan B, unless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's get into these like the flag theory, you know, kind of components. So I think the first one is second citizenship and/or a passport.
Andorra, you said Andorra.
And/or a passport, or you know, I don't know if they go together or. You know, whether it's, you know, let's walk through this. Like, do you have to become a citizen of another country or am I just getting dual citizenship, I guess, or?
Andorra actually requires, doesn't allow you dual citizenship.
Oh, not and or.
Yeah, okay, like, I thought you were saying about the country Andorra because like.
No countries yet.
Pretty beautiful country, okay.
Right. So if I want to get another citizenship somewhere or a passport, like, I mean, what does that mean and why am I doing that?
Yeah, let's look into like the most common, the most popular setup because like I would have to know way more about you.
Sure. Well, let's talk in general. Let's talk in like kind of 3 buckets though. And, you know, you don't have to stick to any. You can go on tangents. But like let's think about, you know, somebody with a family. That's kind of on top of my mind. But also, you know, maybe young people who – whether they have means today or whether they can kind of do long-term thinking towards accomplishing these goals. And then just like the independently wealthy, regardless of age, who can just, you know, drop some coin and do a lot of things right now.
Yeah, to strategize it right, in every security model, you always start with attack vectors, right? So understand what your attack vectors are. Is it your own government trying to lock the border so you can't leave? Is it IRS trying to get 60% of your Bitcoin gains? Is it them trying to come after your business because they don't really like what you do because it's like privacy related, right? So we're figuring out attack vectors. after that, we're moving into what are you trying to achieve other than protect yourself from those attacks? Are you also trying to gain a better, let's say, climate? Or are you trying to find a place where your kids are going to feel the most comfortable and safe? So based on all that information, we're coming up with a strategy. Usually it's, let's say you're Canadian by birth, you got Canadian passport. You buy a second passport from a tax haven, and then you go through a procedure of becoming non-tax resident of Canada, which is like a process, but definitely worth it if you actually decide to take this route. And then after that, you're just picking the best place that suits your requirements and goals the best, and just go there and enjoy life. And again, like when you're trying to get into Bitcoin privacy, right? And like it's a process, it's a rabbit hole, and it does require extra steps from your side. Same with passport flag theory. So you do have to take some extra steps, but do they worth it? Absolutely.
Right. And then there's like, I think there's different ways to kind of approach this. So let's say you're like, for whatever your attack vector is, you're like, I got to get out of the country, either, let's say physically, and I want to live in Mexico or some Caribbean island. And, you know, how much is that going to cost me to land in a beautiful Caribbean country upon arrival, maybe for a family of four? Or let's just start with one and then everyone could just multiply by four. But then I'm thinking like, what if... And then we can kind of talk about where to go if, like, I was just like, young and I just want to be traveling, and where can I go for like 6 months with a Canadian or American passport?
So, what did I want to start with?
How much is it going to cost if I want to move to or get a second passport and a beautiful...
Yeah, to begin with, like most of my clients don't ever go to Caribbean islands. They never put their foot on it. So it's pretty much they're getting passport and getting all those benefits and then do something else. Actually, those islands are pretty nice and I visited and it's great. I would definitely want to spend some time there. Also, regarding the price, you mentioned that you would multiply four. It doesn't actually how it works. You're pretty much getting a main applicant is paying for most of the process, and then you include dependents into your application. And sometimes if your kids are very young, it's not really going to cost you anything. Or in case of COVID special, I like to say that because it's like a South Park joke now. So COVID special from St. Kitts actually now includes a family of four for the same price as single applicant. So it's a pretty good deal. So family of four going to St. Kitts, all fees included. Everything, due diligence process, government fees, our processing fees, and donation into sustainable growth fund, as they call it, is going to cost you $175,000.
Right. To give people like an idea of like how much that will cost, you know, what to prepare for, and maybe to think longer term. But then there's like maybe cheaper ways or more slow burn, like maybe have a kid. You know, my wife and I have a kid somewhere. Kind of backdoor that way. It just takes a little longer.
And again, like there are a lot of ways to acquire a second passport if you just want to have a second option. But just know that this passport is not going to give you the same benefits that tax havens do. But I'm really all pro like acquiring flags on a go, like as much as you can. And let's say you're going to Brazil with your wife and kids, really nice place, Florianópolis, south of Brazil, and you have a third baby there. So the kid getting dual citizenship right away, parents get residency, parents and all other kids get in residency right away. And if you stay there for a year, and you can actually go back and forth travel, but once you get 1 year in your residency, you can apply for a passport.
Wow. That sounds great. And that's not that long. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, we kind of enter the vector of like, so, you know, you want this second passport or citizenship based on maybe, you know, where you want to live. But now like also where, you know, where you want to maybe have your business. So maybe you want to be, you know, you domicile your business in one of these Caribbean islands for tax reasons. You never need to go. And now, you know, maybe you get a passport or real estate in Mexico or Brazil where you want to live. And then I think one of the other, you know, kind of vectors to this or flags is like, well, where you want to spend your money. And that might be Brazil in this case.
So most of my clients are pretty entrepreneurial in their nature. So they can pretty much, you know, set up the operations the way that they can travel. And do everything online. The only exception usually is like if you're some kind of researcher and need to be tied up to a university, or if it's something with real estate. And in this particular situation, you just have to do market research and understand what jurisdiction, what cities, countries will serve you better on this question. But yeah, it's pretty much like you heard somebody say it's nice, you go Google it, you find something you don't like, you move on to the next jurisdiction. And just like that, Google search plus people reviews plus visiting, and you pick what's best for you.
Right.
I ended up in Guadalajara absolutely accidentally. Never planned to live there, knew nothing about the city until I actually got in here, and so far it's been great.
Yeah, what do you like about Guadalajara? I'm not saying there's anything not to like. It's
4 million town, so pretty big. But also everything is very walkable. Like I lost my car keys, and I've been just like whatever. I don't really need a car. I can stay in the garage for as long as I don't care. It's pretty walkable. It's called Silicon Valley of Mexico. So it's like a lot of tech companies, startups, universities, young coders. But there's no cancel culture here yet. So it's like Silicon Valley with all the best and without all the worst. I'm definitely enjoying that. A lot of alternative cultures. Like every Saturday, I've been going to this dance battle for hip hop dancing and like break dancing. I actually started taking classes for that. A lot of, you know, Latina dancing, salsa and bachata. I've been also taking classes of that. Spanish is a good language to learn for me. So I'm doing that as well. I don't know. I just like everything from here. All the food is local. I barely go to supermarkets, like probably once a month, because I pretty much purchase all my stuff at local carnicería, which is a butcher shop, and local grocery store.
Yeah.
Pretty convenient.
How many languages do you speak?
Three.
Is that English, mm-hmm. Spanish, and Russian?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I wonder, I think you've spoken a little bit about like working the system in the United States, being able to obtain documents and like things without like, say, a social security number.
Yeah, nothing red-pilled me more than immigration to the United States.
Right.
I think it was such a big contribution to my flag theory. They don't even know about that.
And I think that's, you know, I'm assuming that's a common thread maybe against a lot of immigrants to the United States. And particularly I've seen this like with the Russian communities in Brooklyn and out of Brooklyn and New York, where they kind of like really run the system. So like they'll have like a, you know, in a real Russian community, like there'll be like two cars will get an accident, the mechanic, the insurance agent, the appraiser, everybody is kind of in on this fake accident. Everyone's getting a cut from the system and nothing really happened. Or even if they smashed up the cars on purpose. So, you know, it's like they really, and I think this is not just Russians, but anybody who comes here, like who has maybe a harder system to work through where they came from, they kind of think, well, you know, the system here is a joke. Or even it's just easier to kind of like get what you want out of it. And when you're looking at it that way, and I think that kind of extends maybe to your business and you being able to give that knowledge and experience and skill that you're developing to your, you know, your clients and customers. Getting back to this, you know, the flags though, and one of them is like establishing asset havens. So maybe for your gold or your offshore trust, or your foreign real estate investments, which is slightly different than where you're going to play or where your business might be domiciled. The next one, which this is where I start not even to kind of take it this far, and is protect your digital freedom and privacy.
Yep.
So how do you kind of, you know, manage that with your business is kind of like being kind of front and center? But then you're kind of like talking maybe your customers and clients through their digital privacy and freedom maybe. And do you have like advice for people?
Yeah. So first of all, I always advise people to not use their names in emails to me, in calls with me. Whenever you set up a call, you can just go to my website and schedule a free consultancy. Feel free to use pseudonym, to use your Twitter account or anything like that. Like, I don't mind. You're not paying me for this call, and unless we actually enter a relationship, I don't want to know your name. Like, I don't want to be a single point of failure. So like, keep it for yourself. after that, we might enter, you know, business relationship. And even while entering business relationship, I can still maintain not knowing your name. Me and my assistant will keep calling you by pseudonym. She will process the paperwork because, like, we are in the same community. You might not want me to know your name, and like that's totally manageable, pretty easy. As well as like we guarantee full confidentiality. You know, I'm on the same page, on the same vibe. Like, I'm questioning authority. I think they're having way more power than they should. Not that I think they should have it at all. So I would fight for my clients, that's for sure. But yeah, myself, I have a Linux computer, trying to educate myself on some privacy tools, doing my best. Obviously, I'm out there talking on a camera with you and I'm pretty exposed, but I also have a full backup plan and like, I'm not really Katie, so
right.
That's also helping.
Fully prepped. You know, that's interesting, not really Katie. So kind of a tangent of that is, you know, kind of like this notion of maybe passport hopping and name hopping. So maybe you get your passport down in St. Kitts, change your name. Now I'm Frederick Young, and then I go off to Mexico, and now I'm Stephen Jones. When I get my new passport there and change my name there, based and the trail gets further and further from, you know, Cedric Youngleman.
Yeah, coin joining your name.
Right.
So I heard people doing that. I'm not a lawyer, not an advisor, doing all kinds of disclaimers, you know, not familiar with that.
Sure.
But it's definitely something people do.
Right, right. And then I think, you know, and I don't know if this is the true seventh one, but I think it's prioritize your social and personal life. So kind of looking at who your friends are and who you hang out with and where you're from and things of that nature.
Well, we're all pretty good critical thinkers, and I feel like that also comes with, you know, having a good judge of character. Like, we should know better. We should understand who we hang out with. We should, you know, just exercise our gut and understanding who we should or should not, you know, communicate with. And also, like, it serves you so well when you just cut off the wrong people from your life, for your mental health, for your growth. People should do it more often. And yeah, definitely.
Yeah. One thing when I was doing research for this, I didn't realize, you know, Roger Ver was kind of he's really into, you know, flag theory and being a global nomad. I didn't realize he was thrown into prison for selling explosives on eBay.
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. He did went to prison for a while. So he had a criminal background, but it didn't stop him from getting St. Kitts passport. And he spends a lot of time in St. Kitts and Antigua. I met Roger beginning of this year. He's still advocating for Big Hash very, very emotionally.
Right. Do you think Satoshi's a global nomad playing flag theory right now? Is he one of your clients?
Hope not.
You wouldn't know.
I don't. Yeah, that's for sure. Who knows? Who knows?
Right. So let's get to Bitcoin. You know, how did you come to Bitcoin?
Yeah, funny story. I heard about it from like the shadiest person I knew. And I was like, dude, you're fucking financial pyramids. And back in, I have economics background. That's what I went to school for. Never graduated, disclaimer. So yeah, in economics school for 2 years, I was doing research for financial pyramids, Ponzi schemes, etc. So the way he described it, it was like check, check, check. Totally everything he said, I was like, okay, I've heard of it. Like, it's a Ponzi scheme, etc., etc. So he didn't do a great job. And then later on, I started seeing it everywhere, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. I'm gonna actually educate myself into that. And then really interesting thing happened. Like, I was already trying to read on it, trying to understand as much as I can. And one day I went back to the language school in Florida just to visit my teacher. And I ran into this Russian girl who's like crying, you know, really not in a good state. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's happening? Let me help you. So I helped her out a little bit financially, but also like I just moved her stuff from one apartment where she was getting kicked out of because her host parents were not nice to her. And so we kind of became friends, and then she left like a week or two later. But we, you know, kept talking. And then she started seeing me posting something on Facebook about Bitcoin, some some pictures from local meetup. And she texted me, "Hey, Katie, I'm actually producer of one of Russian TV channels. And few of my friends actually going to New York for a Bitcoin conference. It's a Bitcoin fund, and they're doing some mining," which she knew nothing about. She was just, you know, paraphrasing what she heard from them. And they needed a translator for that, for the conference, to interview people there. And I was like, sure, I'll do that. So they flew me to New York, and that's when my actual Revit story began, because I met a lot of people who were way more knowledgeable, who recommended me good books, and yeah, just like that, it started.
Wow. What do you think of the United States and like specific cities?
There are a lot of good places. It's definitely great land, great idea. It's disappointing lately, but you know, I pretty much at this point, I look at the world as a whole, and I just, whatever serves me at the moment, I go there. Like, I still spend a lot of time in the United States. I would, like a lot of people would say, I still live there. And yeah, it's fine. It's fine. As long as you can make it work for yourself, as long as you're being smart about your life, you're prioritizing things that are actually important for you, then you're just fine.
What sets Texas apart, and where's the best spot?
I don't know. I feel like that's the place where the most like-minded people are for me personally. A lot of Bitcoiners, great community, pretty good weather. I used to sail from Galveston a lot, so my needs met there as well for sailing-wise questions. But yeah, I think I lived in Houston for quite some time, and I liked it.
Right. Do you get to go sailing at all down in Mexico?
Not in Mexico. Yeah, I still sail mostly from the area, Long Island, New York, and
really?
Galveston.
Where out of Long Island? That's where I'm from.
I always forget the name, Huntington.
Okay, yeah, awesome.
There is the Oak Leaf Yacht Club, really cool place. I really want to come visit soon enough.
Okay, I got to go sailing in Australia, the Whitsunday Islands. I'm one of those, like, you know, the boats that race in, I think, the big race. I forget the name.
This is awesome. Yeah, I still haven't been to Australia. I definitely want to go, even though those guys really come after people who value privacy lately, and a lot of Australians actually flee. I've seen a huge spike in Australian clients lately.
Where do you think Bitcoin's going to go over the next 5 or 10 years?
Up.
Good answer.
Number goes up.
Do you have any advice for Bitcoiners regarding security?
Oh no, I'm definitely not the best source of advice in that case. I would say regarding this topic is, like, get your shit together, educate yourself.
Right.
Like, it is hard, it's not easy, but as long as you keep showing up and keep making steps the right direction, you're probably gonna get somewhere.
Right.
Better than where you were yesterday.
Right. You would think the first rule of Bitcoin would be, like, don't talk about Bitcoin. But here we are.
I can't. It's going to be bad for my mental health. Like, how am I not going to talk about the biggest passion of my life?
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. I've really enjoyed this. This has been awesome. Do you have, like, maybe, you know, any, can you let everyone know where they can find you and any other parting words? Like,
yeah, definitely. Twitter DMs always work. KATIEANANINA. I also have a YouTube channel that I haven't been updating for a while, but it does have some information on different Caribbean islands, program comparison. Also, reach out to me on Telegram, same nickname as Twitter, and just request, you know, some more info on a particular island, or go to planbpassport.com and schedule a free consultancy call with me.
Awesome. I really think that, like, I mean, I'm still going to be digging into flag theory. I have a lot to learn still. I think, you know, I mean, we covered a lot, but like, I kind of want to take action, you know, and kind of start figuring things out. I feel like I'm now on step one. I really thought I was kind of getting as close to step 10 done. And I feel like I'm just at the beginning and the bottom of the hill now again.
I'm definitely going to be putting more educational content soon on my Twitter and, you know, blog posts on my website, but also I'm hosting a mini conference, I guess, an event like a few days before Bitcoin 2021. It's called undergroundcitadel.com. So go there and register, and we'll definitely talk about all things sovereignty. I say it's all things Bitcoiners need to know outside of Bitcoin. So like unschooling, physical security, flag theory, and all that cool stuff, 3D printing. You know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to BitBlock Boom. I heard you did this a similar conference right before it, and I love the way you announced it. You kind of like you registered, and then you got an email, I think like 12 hours before. It's like, you got to go here.
Yeah, that's right. We also didn't know how it's going to be like in Texas regarding the whole lockdown stuff. And we definitely were speaking out loud, like speaking out our minds off. Is that how you say it? Speaking our minds, I guess.
Ranting. Speaking your mind. Yeah, that's right. Your mind, yeah.
So I definitely didn't want any outsiders who would just come in and thought we were crazy. So
That's why I like how you announced it. What's it like getting, you know, back and forth over the American border right now? Is that difficult or just easy peasy?
It's only difficult for Katie. But no, seriously, every time I cross border, I get detained if I cross by plane. So in airports, they're like, asking me all kinds of questions, personal questions and stuff.
Right.
So right now what I'm doing is I need to go to LA. I need to be there tomorrow, like midday. So in the morning, I'm flying to Tijuana, crossing border by feet, and then taking a car, driving all the way to LA. It's much easier.
Yeah, I flew into Australia once, and I declared I wasn't bringing any fruit or vegetables. Actually, I was flying to New Zealand from Australia, and they were like, all right, they opened up my backpack, and they found like a three-day-old pear. And they were like, you lied. And I'm like, I didn't know. I forgot. And they fined me $150 on the spot, or I wouldn't be allowed to come in. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was like, well, Hillary Swank, you know, fought that. And I was like, well, you know. But
yeah, 2 weeks ago, I had a crazy story, too. I was crossing this Mexican border in Tijuana. And I had this, I have special cream that I use after my Muay Thai classes for my back. And it actually consists of some cannabis. And I purchased it in Mexico, so it's totally legal in Mexico. It's absolutely legal in California, but the imaginary line between those two, you can't cross it with a screen. Right. And I'm like, you must be kidding me. So two bodyguards, going back to Mexico with me, watching me throw the screen into the garbage and come back. I'm like, there are two garbages 3 meters apart. I can throw it in the right one, but I cannot throw it in the left one. And they're like, yes. Like, do you guys understand there is no like line in there? It's like imaginary. It's in your head only. And they were pretty pissed at me.
Right. So if I go to Texas and I want to then go to Mexico, do I drive or fly or both are fine?
You're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine.
All right. Where do I go from Texas if I'm going to drive 10 hours into Mexico or 5 or 10 hours?
Guadalajara.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Monterrey. You're from Texas. Monterrey, pretty cool city, pretty close. The second one would be Guadalajara. None of this on the border, on the coast. So, like, people keep thinking that I'm weird because I'm not on the beach. But I had no beach in my life, and I still go to the beach quite often. But Guadalajara, just really nice. All right. We have really great community. We might start Citadel soon.
Maybe, but I think the beach is calling. So, the wife and kids, we love the beach, playing in the sand. So... this has been awesome. I really appreciate it. Talking flag theory with Katie Ananina, the perpetual global nomad traveler. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed that.
Be well. Katie Ananina talking about FU Bitcoin, FU passports, and her FU mentality right here on the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. Thank you for listening. If you dig the chats, vote with those thumbs and press 5 stars in the app. That's the best way to get the word out so we can keep grinding out thought-provoking conversations about Bitcoin and sovereignty. This is Cedric. Peace.